Our scripture today will be from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. But I'm going to switch from the 18 to 26 and read that part from Luke. So you can still follow along because they're very similar. And as I'm reading the Luke and you're looking at the Matthew, you can note some of the differences. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to worship you, to praise you, to hear your word that you've freely given to us through your Son, Jesus. We ask you that your Spirit is upon us, that we might hear what you desire us to, that we may live as you desire us to live. We thank you for your mercy in this moment, too. For through your mercy, you can even bless us through this sermon. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Matthew 9, 9 to 13. Hear now God's word. As Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came to the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Sometimes I appreciate reading both side by side because you see the differences, and differences do make a difference. They make neat points, how mercy looks. The reason I kind of kept these two things side by side, and I'll explain this picture here in a moment. The reason I read Luke instead of Matthew, the Matthew version of that story, I'll tell you. So the Matthew 9:9-13 talks about himself, Matthew, Jesus directing him to follow him and how happy he was, and he fed Jesus at his house. And the Pharisees said, "It's a terrible thing you're hanging out with tax collectors." If no one has ever told you, and I'm sure I have at some point, why tax collectors were hated, it's because the Roman occupation was hated. And the tax collectors they were Jews that worked for the Romans, but also at the same time took advantage of the Jews by charging more than what they actually owed, thus being hated for working for the Romans and being hated for taking advantage of the Jews. And so they weren't liked at all. But Jesus sought them out, and tax collectors and many other sinners Christ was eating with, Pharisees didn't like it. And he said, is it not the healthy who need a doctor but the sick? The healthy don't need a doctor but sick. But then he says this, and this is the important part, it all is, but this for today. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, Jesus says. In Luke, this particular story is not mentioned. But I love, and I never really paid attention, that Matthew pairs this phrase, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, with the story of the healing of the bleeding woman and the rising of the dead girl. And so that pairing together makes that story of the bleeding woman and the dead girl all that much more wonderful. But the telling of the story of the dead girl, I like the Luke version better because I feel it's far more relatable. Now let's put ourselves in the shoes of Jairus for a second, the synagogue leader, who in the Luke version, the daughter is dying. Not dead, like in the Matthew version, but dying. And this father is hopeful, but also anxious, and he's filled with anxiety and dread over his daughter, and Jesus is the last hope, and he walks up to Jesus, he bows down in front of him, and he says, please, my daughter is sick, come and heal her. And Jesus says, okay, I'll do that. And the hope that rushes in, the gladness that rushes in to Jairus' life in that moment, I can't imagine. The person who can heal all these sicknesses is going to take the sickness away from my daughter. I have hope now. Where once there was nothing but dread, now there's hope. But they still got to get there. If anyone knows anything about being in a hurry, this is not what you want to see. And when Jairus was walking with Jesus to his house, this is what it looked like. The crowds gathered around Jesus and they packed tightly so that Jesus can barely get through. And Jairus is probably checking his watch. We gotta hurry. Get people through here. Anyone watch Princess Bride? You remember the scene in the Thieves Forest where Andre the Giant and Mandy Pantekin, they're trying to get through the crowds and Andre the Giant says, everybody move! You know, they all pass aside. That's what Jairus wanted. He wanted an Andre the Giant in that moment so that they could make a beeline to his house. And the worst thing happened. Jesus stopped. When Jairus just wanted him to move, Jesus stopped and he said, who touched me? And of course, it seems like a ridiculous question because everyone's touching him. And he asks again, who touched me? And finally, this woman comes out of the crowd and says, I did. Because she knew the truth of what just happened. Just a word about this culture for a brief moment, that in the Jewish culture, when a woman was on her period, she was considered unclean during that week. She had to take a break from society. She couldn't go shopping, she couldn't be out in crowds, nothing. She was considered unclean. If someone would touch her at that time of her month, they would be considered unclean, and again, they would not be able to be part of society until they got cleansed through the ritual cleaning process. I don't know exactly. They had to go see priests, you know, this sort of thing. Back in Jacob's time and Isaac's time in that, the tradition of the Jewish women would be called a red tent. That when you were with a lot of other women, sometimes the periods synced up, and then for that week, they would all go to the red tent because none of them were allowed to be in society. So for that week, they had to be away from society, away from everybody else so that they didn't get them clean or unclean. This woman had a bleeding issue for 12 years. It wasn't just a week taken out of her life because of this. It was for 12 years. She was isolated and no longer part of society. She went to doctors, some of the other translation says, and they charged her exorbitant amount of money, and nothing ever worked. She saw Jesus as her last hope, just like Jairus saw Jesus as his last hope. But the thing is that in order to receive that healing from Jesus, she had to break every law. She had to fight her way through the clouds, yet thus making everyone else unclean. And she had to touch Jesus against the law, making him unclean. But there's this cool thing about Jesus, and we see throughout his ministry always, is that sometimes we are afraid to help other people because we're afraid that their uncleanliness will rub off on us. Whatever that might be, however that uncleanliness might look like, we don't want a part of that problem, whatever it is. We don't want to the alcoholics around us. We don't want the homeless around us because it's a lot of work and it takes a lot of our lives. And then we get into this part of life that we don't want to be a part of. But Christ doesn't get unclean. That's not the way it spreads. For Jesus, Jesus' cleanliness spreads to the unclean, thus making clean. What Christ gives us is stronger than the uncleanliness and cleanses those who need it most. This woman experienced it. And she was clean and she celebrated. She said, "Thank you, Lord." And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Your faith has made you well." And all this time, Jairus is like, "Come on." I heard a TikTok the other day, which I really, really liked. It was this guy filming this other guy. He's interviewing. One guy's filming with the phone, and the other guy's interviewing another guy. And this guy, they were in a mall, and this guy walks right in between them. And the guy who was doing the interview to the other guy was upset. He says, "Doesn't this guy see that we're interviewing?" And the guy that is interviewing said, he says, "I find it far better to assume someone's incompetence than to assume their malice." That some people are, all people are just the same. We're all complex lives. We're all wrapped up in our own head. We're all going through our own thing, and we don't pay attention to what's going on around us. It's not that people are malice, it's that we're trying to get what we need in those moments. Just like this woman was, she had no idea what was going in Jairus' lives, but Jairus is probably not happy at her because Jairus is taking up the master's time when his daughter is dying. And then the worst of the words happen, the servant comes up and says, "Don't bother the master anymore, your daughter's dead." Jesus says instead, "Don't fret." Because anything with Christ in our lives, I always believe this, that it's never out of time. That there's always hope, even when we think there is none. I learned something. Well, I'll get to that in just one quick moment. Jesus goes to Jairus' house and heals the daughter. We all read that. But Jesus also illustrates this, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And I think all mercy looks the same. When we look at this picture, where do you see the mercy? Well, you could say it could be this crane helping this truck that had an accident. But honestly, I think this is what mercy looks like. Because every time we show mercy to another people, it backs our lives up. It gets us out of schedule. It makes us late. Jesus is showing the woman mercy, had to halt what he was doing to go to Jairus' house in order to do something else. When you look at the parable of the good Samaritan, where the two priests walked on the one side, because mercy would have changed their schedule, would have made them late, would have made them do something else that they didn't have time for. But the man who showed mercy, his day changed. It wasn't part of his schedule. He took the man, he took him to the inn, he took care of him, and he paid for his care for the whole week. During these past 2 months, I was shown great mercy by you, allowing me to take those 2 months off to get what I needed through Christ. And it changed your schedule. You had people here you've never seen before. It may have gone smoothly. It may not have gone smoothly. Some of you may have been looking at your watches, like you are now. Or others of you may be so happy that you were out 20 minutes early or whatever the case was. But the thing was is that it was different. For the past 2 months, church was different. But during that difference, I can almost guarantee that you were blessed in different ways. Heard from different point of views, met different people. Saw that as a church, just because I wasn't here, God still was. And that's such a great blessing. During my time away for the 2 months, I was in a seminar called Living a Contemplative Life. But I did learn something, that if you are highly scholared and you have many degrees, you pronounce that word contemplative. Living a contemplative lifestyle. And during this, I learned the practice of silent meditation. Silent meditation is where you pick one sacred word, mine for that first time was hope, and you repeat that word over and 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 over again for like 20 minutes. For the first time it was 20 minutes. What happens though is the human mind doesn't like that and eventually starts wandering off to other things. So the second part of the contemplative silence, one of the most important parts, arguably, is returning. Once you realize you've gone off track, you go back and start repeating the word over and over and over and over and over again. Sometimes that's what we need in our lives, just to keep coming back. Sometimes that's the greatest victory, to come back. When I repeated that word over and over and over and over and over again, and in those moments that I wasn't leaving, something happened to me. What happened to me was that my rules started to melt away. Being a father, being a friend, being a pastor, being a husband, all started to go away. All these things that I defined my life by started just to melt away. And the only thing that was left was just me and God. That was at the heart of it. That was the blessing that I got. But in order to receive that, I had to change my regular schedule. I had to change the times of my life. I had to make room for Christ. And that was the gift that you guys gave me. That was the mercy. Life gets backed up, but sometimes we experience as blessings that we've never imagined we could receive before, because our life is so different in those moments. Mercy's not easy, but it's worth working for. It's worth working to. Let me close in prayer. Oh God, it is true that no one has seen nor that no eye has seen nor ear has heard wonderful things you hold in store for your children. Yet in these moments with you, we have seen more clearly and listened more deeply. We give you thanks. Amen and amen.